Steve Arterburn here for New Life Live. Thanks for joining us here on New Life. Hope that something we say is going to be a great encouragement to you, maybe even a little confrontational here on New Life. Glad you're with us.
I loved your show. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. What can we do for you?
I should talk to a therapist?
Yeah. You definitely need...
I should go unload on somebody.
What's the question about that?
Whether I'm saved, because I'm just nuttier than a fruitcake.
Well, As Steve said, if being nutty can't equal being saved, he and I are in trouble as well, especially him.
That's the first really honest thing I think I've heard you say, and I'm not trying to be mean. That sounded honest.
And you work at listening to her.
Your mom is a marriage vulture, and she sits on your shoulder, and what you want her to become is a hummingbird. Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. John Townsend and Mylon Yurkovich. How are you guys doing today?
Good, Steve. How are you?
Not bad.
Not bad.
You know, were you guys aware of this thing Pat Robertson said about people with Alzheimer's and divorce? Did that come across your radar?
I just heard about it.
Yep. And, I made a comment about that on Twitter and Facebook. I got more reactions to that than anything I've ever done before.
Wow.
But essentially he said that if a person had Alzheimer's and they, you know, they're not there anymore, it'd be biblically okay to divorce that person because they're not there. And I just thought, you know, somebody needed to have a difficult conversation with him, you know, like, and say to him, you know, that maybe you ought to rethink your position on that. Boy, I sure would.
So what did you say on your tweet?
Oh, I just said that I guess his wife had biblical grounds to divorce him because he's not there. Because you wouldn't say that if you were all there.
Well, there's nothing inflammatory about that, Steve.
No, but I was just trying to make a point that, man, we can't abandon folks, whether it's a coma or Alzheimer's or whatever.
Well, I would agree with you. I mean, where does till death do us part fit in?
Good or bad, better or worse.
Well, I sure hope nobody abandons me when I'm out of it.
Well, I think sometimes, you know, I'm out of it right now, and I might be abandoned immediately. So,
has Pat Robertson addressed that comment since of all the publicity? I haven't read a comment from him that says, "Here's why I said what I said."
I haven't heard that, but I would assume that at some point that might be the case. But I want to make the point that, you know, when you sign up for marriage, you're signing up for the tough stuff right up into the very end. And, you know, I remember hearing a story of a man who loved his wife, who was in a coma, and the doctor said, you know, you should pull the plug. And he went home and killed himself. And, of course, you know, the end of that story, the wife comes out of the coma the next day.
Yeah.
So we just never know. Let's go to our phone calls, and let's talk with Bobby Joe from West Plains, Missouri. And Bobby Joe listens on KCMH, I believe it is. Hello, Bobby Joe. How are you?
Hi. How are you?
Great. How can we help you today?
Well, I have been divorced from my second husband for a year and a couple of months.
Okay.
My question is, I'm on disability. And I hate to say it this way, but I've been saddled with almost $30,000 worth of debt. I have tried confronting him about helping me pay all this off. At least over $17,000 of it is his bills. I've asked my lawyer on how I can on my credit, you know, if his stuff has, you know, has to stay on my credit history,
Bobby Joe, tell us how we can help that an attorney, since it's more legal, that an attorney can't help, so we can structure our thoughts for you.
I think my biggest deal is I feel like, how do I explain this without sounding mean? I feel like I can't move, you know, everybody's telling me
I wish I was who you think I am. The one you thought you married. The ideal husband, the amazing dad, the great lover. But my mind is filled with darkness, with images that I can't erase. I want so desperately to be the man you dreamed of. The man I know I can be. I am terrified to talk to you about this. But I want to. I need to. I want us to be close just as badly as you do. Can I talk to you? Can we be totally honest and know that we love each other enough to be open?
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help. I want help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
Okay, we're back, and Bobby Joe has $30,000 in debt from previous marriage. I think $17,000, she says, is definitely his. The question for us, John, asks you, what's the non-legal part of this that we could help you with?
Well, I'm just struggling, I guess, with forgiveness on this part, because I guess that's just it, because I'm at a loss for words. Cause
okay, well, just ask us a question about this. I mean, it could be, how do I feel better? What do I do?
Yeah, what
What's
do I do?
Question?
And again, Bobby Joe, is this what do I do to get the money, or is this what do I do to move on? We need
what do I do to move on?
All right, this is pretty common where people have been, you know, done wrong, and that's what the forgiveness is about. It's when someone does you wrong. What would it feel like to forgive him that you can't do?
I guess what I'm struggling with is if I forgive him. I guess it's the accountability part of it.
Let me understand that. Meaning, if I forgive him, does that get him off the leash?
Basically, yeah.
Well, you know what the word means is it is a legal word. It means to cancel a debt. Now, I think if you're sure that the money's not coming your way, I mean, if there's no other legal stratagems or phone calls you can make, then I would probably still, you know, leave a note to the guy saying, one day I hope you pay this because I need the money. But there's two kinds of forgiveness. There's the forgiveness of what you physically owe me, and then there's the forgiveness of, you know, I'm going to take care of this. And I think I would probably say, I'm going to cancel the debt. If he doesn't pay me, I'm going to have a good life.
Okay.
If he ever writes you a check, that's great. But the problem forgiveness is hard is that you really are saying, I'm not going to go after you anymore. And I'm not going to ask you to restore me. If you do, that's great. But I'm going to make myself whole with the help of God and the people in my life.
Okay. Okay.
Not easy.
All right.
Bobby Joe,
no,
are Bobby Joe, are you having a hard time forgiving yourself?
I think so. There's a lot of red flags before I married him that I myself, you know, I guess I'm having a hard time forgiving myself for that.
Yeah, I do that to myself too, Bobby Joe. When I think I've made a decision that went against my instincts, I find myself after a while kicking myself because I go, why did I do that? I asked for a lot of this. And I think that's a really important piece, too. You have to, and again, this is your second marriage, you see. So that can even make it just a tinge harder because there were red flags. And so I would go back to this and I would do the same thing that John just said for yourself. Bobby Joe, okay. I'm going to forgive myself because God has forgiven me. Now, if I get in an accident and lose an arm, I still have a lost arm, but I can heal from this wound. Like John said earlier, I can have a scar, but I can heal the wound. So I would say you really need to work on understanding and yourself,
okay,
giving yourself some grace. But also then, you still sound like a young lady, and to say to yourself, you know what? If I saw those red flags again, I'm going to pay attention. Now, what made me not pay attention to the red flags? And I have to really ask that question, be honest with myself, and not lie to myself, and ask, what made me forego my best judgment?
Yeah.
And that way you can walk away from this more healthy and whole than if you just are worried about forgiving his debt.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to send you Avoiding Mr. Wrong. I hope that that will be of help to you. And, you know, I was just sitting here thinking about how many people say, I can't afford a $1,000 conference or $500 for this. And yet they end up in a relationship because they didn't go to something and get healthy. And now they're $30,000 in debt and lost time and all of that. I mean, sometimes you have to say that the cost of transformation, of healing, of an intensive or whatever you do is really priceless compared to going through what Bobby Joe went through. You know, there are a lot of folks that are single or married. If you could just get to a New Life weekend, it just might save you $30,000 in debt or something like that. 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you need some help, or 1-800-639-5433. I believe that's the number. 639-5433, that's right.
Yes, 639-5433, 1-800.
And the newlife.com is the website. Okay, let's go over here to Kevin. Talk with him from Chicago. WYLL is the station. Hi, Kevin. Hey.
Hello.
Hi, what's going on?
Yes. I've been married for 18 years. Well, still married. But I have a feeling that my wife is being unfaithful. About 2 years ago, I found out that she was involved in an affair, and we separated for about a year. But we decided to come back together and try to reconcile, you know. And since we've done that, she still wants to basically, you know, keep her secrets, like with her cell phone. She refuses to give me the code to the phone, you know. And I just let her know, listen, we're trying to build trust, you know, back in the marriage because it's been broken, especially on my part. And I need her to be transparent with me, and she refuses to do it. She says what, you know, the conversations and the text messages that she have on her phone is her business, and, you know, she just refuses to be transparent with me, and I'm getting kind of frustrated because I really feel as though this affair may be still going on, and I'm ready to end the marriage if we can't come back together and
Kevin, how much remorse and empathy did she experience about what she did to you when the affair came up?
Little to none. I mean, she pretty much denied the whole thing.
Once it was reality, what was her attitudes? Was it, I'll do anything to get you back, and I have shattered your life and shattered your trust, and I am so sorry, and I was out of my mind, and I will fix this?
No, those words never came out.
All right, what words did come out once it was reality that she could not deny? This is important.
Basically, she just said that she dropped the ball, and was sorry that she chose a friendship over the marriage. But that was pretty much it. You know, I was the one that said, "Well, listen, let's try to work on this, and I'm willing to."
All right, she really minimized how much she damaged you, Kevin, and that's really not a good sign. And there needs to be another conversation with her of not only do I need to have access to texting and whatever, but I'm insisting on counseling because my life and my heart are upside down. And these have to be criteria that you can't budge on. I'm not talking about, well, when you said, I'm not sure I want to stay married. Like we always say on the show, there's a lot of plays in the football game until then, but you have lots of plays to go through. These are not good signs on her part. We really want to see from her that she's deeply sorry for what she did, and she's working on the inner stuff that drove her to take a friendship and make it worse.
Right.
And that is all important, not only for you, but also for her very soul.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And we did go to counseling together, and we had individual counseling, which, you know, the issue of trust wasn't really dealt with. You know, they was just saying that, you know, you guys need healing, she needs healing, you need healing. But we never actually had any steps to get there.
You went to see see a counselor that said you need healing, but that's kind of where the healing's supposed to happen.
I think so. But there was not any steps other than you just need to work on yourself. And she needs to work on herself.
Well, okay. We're going to give you some names. That's not what's supposed to happen, buddy.
Yeah. But,
okay.
But Steve, actually, Steve there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. You and I actually talked. You were on another radio program.
Yeah.
And I was saying to you that I was ready to go home and pack it up. And I didn't do that. I just want to let you know I did not do that.
Good.
But I really don't know where to go from this point, you know. She's really not giving me anything to work with, and I really feel strongly that something is still going on. I have not investigated. I had to actually hire a private investigator, how I found out the first time, and I'm trying not to do that. I'm trying to trust God and say, listen, well, Lord, you know what's going on, so I'm going to let you deal with this, but at the same time, it's killing me inside.
You can't really trust her if she's not willing to make open to you her phone and passwords and all of that, because you should be able to share that with each other.
Right.
So I think you have to talk to her about where are we in this, and if you have to hire a private investigator again because you're pretty sure she's involved again, then do that. But I feel for you that she's just totally resistant to getting any kind of help for the two of you.
Well, and I think her secrecy is mm-hmm. indicative of the yeah. fact that she doesn't want to build trust. She kind of wants her cake and eat it, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, I even if you didn't hire a private investigator, Kevin, if you said the secrecy is the problem now, we're not yeah. building trust.
Right.
So how are we going to bridge that gap?
Secrecy that prevents the connection, that prevents us from growing and being a couple together.
Yeah. You know, Steve, maybe if you sent Kevin Secrets Women Keep that Jill wrote for his wife and gave that to her, it might help her a little bit.
Okay. All right. We'll do that. Let's go to Joseph from Chicago, Illinois, WYLL. Hi, Joseph.
How you doing, Steve?
Man, how are you?
Glad to be on the show.
I'm glad you're with us. How could we help you?
Excuse me. I'm just coming a little up from under the weather. And I'm just going to try to relax through this. I would like to bring to an end a chapter in my life dealing with sexual addiction.
Okay.
And I also call it sexual lust and idolatry.
Okay. What has that cut? I mean, has that got you involved with pornography? Has it involved you with prostitutes? What level are you at there?
Well, let me just give you a real brief history. Before I knew Jesus, before Jesus came into my life, my dad, before he was deceased in 1979, thought that education was my savior.
Mm-hmm.
Thought that education was everything.
Yeah.
So I was not taught about God, and I was not taught about relationships with other people. I pretty much was a social misfit. And so when I was in grammar school, I'm getting all this peer pressure about having sex. So the only thing I really understood about my female counterpart was having sex. I was not taught how to relate properly to my female counterpart. And when my relationships failed and all that I knew was sex, I went through a period in my life where I hated women. 2 years. And something snapped in my mind. It actually felt like something snapped. And I turned to men. Hmm. And then I was back and forth, men and women. And I don't know if I'm struggling with my identity. I want to be the man that God called me to be. And I want to understand my female counterpart, but it's like I'm in this struggle right now.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. John Townsend, Mylon Yurkovich, and Joseph. Now, Joseph, you've told us that you've been struggling with same-sex attraction. And what is the question that we could answer for you?
Oh, boy, let me see. I want to know what I'm trying to figure out. What's the missing piece in my life? Am I lacking affirmation as a man? Am I lacking validity as a man, or do I just need to resist? It's like I'm by myself. I need to be around other people. I was.
Well, wait a second. Hold on a second, Joseph. Now you're a Christian, right?
Yes.
And you became a Christian, and it didn't change everything. It didn't fix all your desires, right?
Definitely not right away.
Okay. So when someone comes in to you, and if someone were to ask you, hey, I'm a Christian, what should I do with this ongoing desire to gamble or drink or whatever, what would you tell them to do? Would it just be try harder or... stay away from something? What would your advice be?
I would tell them to get some help.
Yeah, okay.
Qualify some type of counseling.
All right, so what kind of help have you gotten for yourself so far?
Well, listening to New Life Live, listening to Hope in the Night, June Hunt. I listen to a variety of Christian counseling programs on WYLL. They have, what's the other ones? They have Bob Lapine, Dennis Rainey. There's Focus on the Family. It's another one. It's another family. I listen to the Christian ministries, but it's like I want to answer now. Is this something that I'm missing? Do I just need to...
We can't give you an answer now.
Okay, do I need to crucify my flesh? Is there something
Joseph,
I need to read?
Joseph, hold on. Joseph, any kind of a deeper disturbance, whether it's an addiction or a sin or whatever, if somebody knew you for 2 minutes on the radio and told you this is the answer, they would be dangerous and probably should be locked up. Because there are many, many causes for these kinds of problems. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 7, he said, you've got to look at good trees and good fruits because you'll know people by their fruits. And a good tree has good fruit and a bad tree has bad fruit. Well, you know the fruit is the same-sex attraction, and it's painful to you, and it has tormented you. But there are roots in there. There's a tree in there, but we don't know the tree. We don't know how much of it is something from your family, something the way you look at life, something from your early development, something else, something about self-esteem, something about self-hatred, something about being closer to women and feeling close. So don't ever take somebody's armchair, I've known you 2 minutes, oh, it's crucify, oh, it's self-esteem. That's just really dangerous because, as the Psalms tell us, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We're complex people. That doesn't mean that there aren't answers. But I want you to get with somebody who has experience. I know the area you're in, and we have people that are experienced with these matters who can go over your history, your life, your struggles, your spiritual background, your emotional, your family of origin issues, and they'll get it for you. The best thing we can tell you is that we've seen a lot of good things happen.
Joseph, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Did you know that there really are some safe people that you could share this with, and they would care about you? And everything that you've said has continued to help yourself not expose yourself to real help. It's just all listening to radio programs. You need to sit down face-to-face with another guy and start talking about this issue.
I agree.
Okay, you've been afraid to do that because you don't want to look bad.
No, I've done that, and I was terribly disappointed. I've also been betrayed, and I'm talking with you all today in hopes that you all would have a good reference references for
We've
me.
We've got that.
That's
for
the
you.
Right question, buddy.
You know what, Joseph? It also sounds like you might be idealizing people and thinking if I'm going to talk to somebody, they have to do it perfectly right. You talk about going to people and then being very disappointed, and it tells me you might be thinking in terms of just all good or all bad, and that's like you're attracted to women, then you hated them, you know, and you just went from one end to the other, and that's not going to help you in this. I think it's important that you integrate the fact that any man, any woman is going to be a broken creature just like we all are, and they're going to have good stuff in there, and they're going to have bad stuff in there. Now, if you can listen to all the radio shows you want, it would be like watching videotapes on tennis. But if you've never picked up a racket and stood on a court, it still is going to be just as awkward if you've never practiced it. So I would go to an Every Man's Battle weekend where they talk about our view of self, our view of other people, the fact that they are persons, not objects, male or female. And how to bring our whole sexual person under control. Because a lot of times, if we've never had intimacy emotionally, what we do is we substitute sexual intensity and activity for what we think intimacy might be. So I would start there. I'd go to an Every Man's Battle weekend and get in a group and have a bunch of guys you can talk to every week.
It's a complex issue that's going to take you revealing yourself and sharing openly with some people that are safe. That's not going to be easy for you to do, but that's where the answer is. I'll send you Every Man's Battle. I hope that will help you. We'll be back after this.
You think I'm a great person, full of life and fun to be around. You say you love me, but if you knew what was going on in my head, I don't think you'd love me anymore. I saw my first girly magazine when I was 7, and I was hooked. I look at porn every chance I get. I've tried to stop over and over again. Sometimes it works for a couple days, but then I fall right back into my old ways.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I want to stop. I need help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places. And New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
Sandra from Chicago, Illinois. WYLL is the station. Hi, Sandra.
Hello.
Hi. What's going on?
Oh, thank you for taking my call. And yes, I'm very nervous.
Okay, well, speak right up there.
Okay. Can you hear me better now?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, thank you. My question is, what should I do and how should I talk to my daughter to help her be more independent and more self-responsible?
What's going on?
She's 20. She's junior in college, away from school. She calls every day, sometimes twice a day. Last year, she started dating a guy who is her age. And when she calls, she's talking how lazy he is, how he has no motivation for studying. Sometimes he goes and drinks and then comes to her. But she did go through the drinking period in her freshman year, but she has good grades in school. So, and now it is so scary how she's talking about future with him. She doesn't know, but a couple of weeks ago I found out they are sexually involved, because she was using my phone.
Okay, so you got a daughter away at school. She's kind of disappointing you there. She's sexually involved with a man, very dependent on you, sounds like, calling you all the time. How could we help you? What's the question?
My question is, when I found out about her, you know, being sexually involved, she doesn't know I know that. Because she used my phone and left messages on. I did not still let her know. But like I told you, I'm very disappointed. And now she's telling me all this stuff about this boy, and she's stressed out about the relationship. And I believe because she gave herself to him, she thinks she should keep this relationship going. And that's why she is talking about future with him.
So you guys have not talked about it yet, that you know, because of the phone calls. She doesn't know that you know?
Exactly, and I'm going in a couple of days to visit.
Well, Sandra, hold on. She really needs a mom right now. She really does need a mom to say, I know about the man, and I know that you're not doing well, and I want to help you.
But what should I say?
What you should say is that you want to help her to be a strong person so that she doesn't have to feel like she belongs to a man and is dependent on a man who controls her and gives sex to a man because he helps her to feel less needy. And you want her to move from needy to strong because that's the kind of woman you want her to be. And you're going to find a good church and a good counselor and good supportive people and help her break through this because you love her. That would mean a lot to a 20-year-old in trouble who's calling her mom all the time.
Sure would.
What do you think, Sandra?
Well, I know she needs me. I know. That's why she's calling me. The other day when she called, she said, Mom, I don't want to talk to a wall. Why don't you say something? I said, I don't know what to tell you.
Well, now
and I really don't know.
Now you do. Now you do know what to tell her. That you don't have to have all the answers for your kid. Us parents who have kids, I have a kid your age, a couple your age. A lot of times they know they're in situations that we might not have a specific answer for, but we tell them, I love you and I'm going to get answers. I'm going to find a good church, a good helper. So you be the bridge, Sandra. You be the one who finds the people for her. Probably the bad thing that's happening is that she's calling many times asking you to solve the problems, and you're not in that position anymore. So you find resources, and we'll help you with that. We know your area.
But I think to know that you're there for her no matter what will help motivate her. And you know, sometimes you have to remind a child that you got in over your head, and I'm going to help you since you did. I'm going to be there. Not bail you out, not fix everything, but I'm going to be there with you. We're going to walk through this together, like John says, and help you find the resources that you need.
Sandra?
Yes?
You did an excellent job of explaining to us the conflict that you feel about your daughter. The fact that
I listened to you guys.
Oh, thank you. But you see, you say, I don't know what to say. Well, you did a phenomenal job of expressing your conflict. And I think sometimes, like John and Steve are saying, all we have to do is tell our adult children or a friend, you know, I'm conflicted about this piece of information. And it really bothers me. Do you want to work on this together or do you want to stay alone in this?
Mm. Okay.
And that way, all I'm doing is saying I'm worried about this, and you're telling her what you're worried about.
Okay. I hope that's helpful. What would be a good book to send her, you guys? What would you want her to have that might help her with this daughter in college?
I'd like to send her Now What Do I Do? Because it talks about dealing with these specific types of problems.
Okay. Coming your way. Okay, Eric from Arlington, Virginia, WAVA. Hi, Eric.
How are you doing?
Good. We can't hear you, and I'm wondering if you could speak up or a different phone or whatever.
Can you hear me better now?
Yeah,
that's better. Thanks, buddy.
Okay, cool. Hello, thank you for taking my call. I'm calling because I've been having an issue with the way that I express my anger. Definitely, even like in conversations with me and my wife, I think I may have some type of anger problem. I'm not an angry person, but I don't know. When I get angry, I end up, like, sometimes I'll hit something or I'll do something that's just totally different from who I normally am. And it's not to, like, intimidate my wife or nothing like that. But I don't want her to, you know, to feel like she has to live with that. I just,
hey, Eric, we got to put all the cards on the deck here, buddy. When you say I'm not an angry person, but these things happen, Eric, I'm sorry, you're an angry person.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you are.
Just got to start there, buddy.
You might be one of the nicest angry persons we've ever talked to.
But
okay,
we can't fix an anger problem when a guy says he's not angry. It just doesn't work that way.
Okay, I'm willing to take that.
Okay. Well, so she said, Colin, you love her and you wanted to get better and all that. Okay, here's my question that I want to help you with. Number one is, what does Eric do with a feeling of helplessness or loss? When you feel helpless or you feel something's lost, what do you do inside?
Helpless or lost, what do I do inside? I don't know. I mean,
I think you hit tables.
You kick and scream.
Eric, this is really a typical man thing, and just guys, we're sort of one of our weaknesses, is that when we're frustrated, like, for example, if your spouse doesn't have the attitude you want or see things your way or you feel disrespected, inside our hearts, we feel helpless, like, well, I can't make you change your mind, and I feel like I'm losing you, and I feel like I'm losing this argument. And we don't lose well, so what we do is we have a tantrum. But somebody 180 pounds having a tantrum is really scary. And what men need to do very often is to do like our Savior did. It says in Isaiah 61, it says, he was a man well acquainted with grief and sorrow. And men need to say, I feel sort of helpless now, or this is sad, or I feel like I'm losing you, or I'm feeling like I'm losing this argument. Because we go into tantrums to make ourselves feel power when we should feel helpless, because that's the reality. I would like for you to become a friend with feeling sad and helpless and lost, and that solves most of a man's hitting on table problems, buddy.
Well, I do think that is true. I just wonder, because I've been thinking about it. It's not an often thing, but when it happens, it's just ridiculous. And I think too, and I don't know if this goes along with part of what you're saying. It is. When I get angry, I feel like I have to release it, like it's building up inside of me. And so the only way that I can release it just in that split second is to either just hit something or to do something like that.
Have you got kids, Eric?
No.
You ever been around kids?
Yeah, a lot.
Okay. If a kid's frustrated because they feel alone or put down, do you say, go out and hit something? Or do you say, tell me about it? That must be sad or hard. What do you do with a kid who has a loss?
I say, tell me about it.
There you go.
Got to have some people to tell this about. You got to have some people to talk to before the big blow-up.
Yeah, the big blow-up is a myth. We don't have we're not steam engines that are waiting for the top to pop off. Yeah. We're lonely people who feel helpless that need somebody to say, that's got to be hard, I'll help you with that. Forget the steam analogy.
All right, we'll come back for the final segment here on New Life Live. Glad you're with us. 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com for some help.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person. For the first time in my life, I feel like I wasn't whole before, or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. As a pastor, I've seen how important it is for people to come and get good Christian counsel. People make decisions that turn out to be the wrong decision. I heard Steve Arterburn say on New Life not too long ago that the same thinking that got you into your mess isn't going to get you out of it. If you find yourself in a spot and you don't know what the next right thing to do is, then won't you call the good people at New Life? They have a network of Christian counselors around the country that's more than 850 strong. Call today 1-800-NEW-LIFE, that's 1-800-639-5433, and tell them you need to find someone to help you. They're likely to have a counselor in your area to help you with whatever you're struggling with. It will be good, godly counsel. Call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life, or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
All righty, we're back. Steve Arterburn here. And we want to go to our final caller here. And the final caller is, it's going to be Danny from Chicago. Hey, Danny, welcome to New Life Live.
Hey, how you guys doing? I'm glad that you accepted my call.
How could we help you?
My situation is this. I have a grown son. He's 26 years old. He lives in another state. For a while, several years ago, he came and stayed with me for around 6 months. That was during the 2008, the economy gap. And we got into a lot of arguments and fights. And now, whenever he calls me, we just wind up getting into an argument. And I'm wondering, is this me doing this, or is it him, or is there another answer?
Well, give us an example.
Well, the other day he called me about a night ago, and he just said he wanted to talk, and we were talking. Everything went fine as long as nothing was said of any value or importance. And then when he started to bring up something that occurred to during the time he was here, I got angry, and he got angry, and it just blew up.
You got angry first?
I tried to answer him properly, you know. Tell him. He asked me, why did I tell his sister one thing? And then, you know, he says that I was trying to poison him. And I says, I didn't say that. I says, that was about the situation. We were out having a drink, and he...
Hey, Danny, let me give you the 101 on this one, buddy.
Okay.
Father of adult children... Be the older grown-up.
I didn't understand that.
He got mad. He provoked you. He accused you of poisoning your sister's relationship, and you got defensive. And then you got mad, and he got mad, and he acted probably younger than 26. He sounds a little on the immature side. So when you got a kid like that and he provokes you, then you be the older grown-up. You be the parent, and you say something like, well, it's not my experience. Tell me more about what you think. That's what grown-ups do, and it helps to help an adult child to be more of a man. He got you down to his level, and you guys just like butted antlers with each other. You got to be the bigger guy.
I liked that you gave. That sounds like you're considering what's being said.
So
yes, I am.
Danny? Danny.
I'm concerned with this because I can't seem to have a relationship with him.
Danny?
I don't trust anything he says or does.
Danny? Who disrespected you and argued with you in the past before you ever had this kid?
Who did I mistrust?
No, who? Yes, that would also work. Who did you distrust, or who was also spoke disrespectfully to you as a child?
Well, I've had several issues. My father, for one, is somebody who never ever gave me any credit for anything.
Okay, so what's happening? The reason that you aren't able to be the parent that John was encouraging you to be is because you're getting triggered inside with an old wound that is a place where it's very sensitive to you. It's a raw nerve of you not being respected. I can't do anything right. My dad does not accept anything that I do as being good. I feel misunderstood. And all has to happen is for your son to come along and resemble that. And you can't listen like John just modeled to you because you're so reactive inside.
I think you're right about that.
Okay. So what has to happen is if you want to have a relationship with your adult son, you have to understand that this is not just about your son. This is about anybody that would disrespect you And that's a very subjective word, by the way, to disrespect. If I just disagree with somebody, does that mean disrespect? You see? If I have a different opinion, does that mean disrespect? Well, not necessarily. But if I feel that it's disrespectful, I will all of a sudden become reactive. Then I become angry. Then both of us are 16.
So how do I correct that?
Oh, that's a great question. And I think all three of us would say you have to do some work on that, which means I sit down with somebody and I walk into a counselor's office and I say, you know what? Every time my 26-year-old son disagrees with me, I become enraged inside. Could you help me figure out what the origins of this are? And could you help me learn to process this and deal with this? Because really, you're not just angry at your son. You're angry at your dad, too. And so what's happening is your son is getting a turbocharged anger that part of it belonged to your dad.
I would say that you're right, which gives me another situation. My dad just had a stroke.
Well, Danny, I'm so sorry, but we are just out of time.
So part of grief is to deal with the history of pain and to grieve and to process it and to really acknowledge the power of that loss. And then we can begin to be free from that. Steve?
Well, it's just such great insight when, you know, we're able to say that something that's a conflict on the surface with somebody here often has an origin with somebody else earlier in life. And then if we can go to work on that earlier conflict, it sure is going to help us in present-day life. One of the areas where we need all the help we can get is living with teens. And this Friday, we're going to be talking about that. And we have a wonderful resource on how to live more peacefully and productively with teens. You can get that at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com. I also want to remind you of our workshop coming up in November. That's Lose It for Life. And I tell you, when you hear some of these people talk about, well, we heard one lady the other day, 140 pounds since January. It's amazing the change and the transformation that comes over someone when they go to Lose It for Life. So please call us and talk to us about that. Maybe there's a scholarship or something if you can't afford it. We have an alcohol and drug treatment program. We would love for you to come. We'd love for you to send somebody there. If they need help, just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com. Guys, any thoughts on today's program or biblical perspective on anything we've discussed today during this past hour?
Well, it's interesting that all the people that called in today were struggling with self-awareness. They hadn't taken hard looks at themselves and asked, what am I feeling? What do I think about forgiving myself, for instance, or looking at my historical patterns? And Psalm 139 says, Lord, search my heart, know my anxious thoughts, and know the ways of pain inside of me, and lead me out of this. So I think one of the greatest prayers anybody listening to our show, and all of us could ever do, is to always be having that prayer in mind. Lord, show me the things that are anxious inside of me, that are filled with pain, and help lead me out of that. And that's always going to involve other people, but it involves self-awareness.
Hmm. Well, you know, when we're just depending on ourselves, our own resources, our own experience, it's very limited in what we're going to be able to do with our lives. But when we're connected and in community and we're asking people to help us, we're open, it's amazing what can happen with a life. So maybe today is the day for you to say, what am I afraid of? Do I want to go through life just so limited and constrained because I don't want to look bad? Or could I take a risk and share with somebody the reality of my soul? Maybe that's the thing to take away from today's program. Thank you, Dr. John Townsend. So appreciate you. Thank you, Mylon Yurkovich. Thanks to all of you that listen and support us. If you can help us, call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It's also the number to call if you need some help, too. We will see you here next time on New Life Live. Come join us then. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program,
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.